Comedy-O-Rama Theater presents The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes, The Honest and True Memoirs of a Non-Entity, Episode 4, A Study in Lavender.
Before I get down to cases, let me say that the recent outpour of fraudulent Sherlock Holmes books has annoyed me severely. In the past month, no less than 3 such publications have crept into the bookstalls, each claiming on the title page to be recently discovered manuscripts reprinted from the reminiscences of the late John H. Watson, M.D. Well, first of all, I am Dr. John Watson, and secondly, I'm not dead. Even Holmes himself could deduce as much if he were here. At this moment, he's in some retirement village in Sussex, getting a stinger transplant for his killer bee, Murray. At any rate, the story I wish to relate, I can assure you, is an original. One which I personally scrawled in the dim glow of my oil lamp. There was a pounding rain outside our lodgings at 221B Baker Street the night in question. It was the sort of night that makes one curl up with a good set of lantern slides and a cup of Mrs. Hudson's delicious hot toddy, which is what I did. Holmes was busy filling his Persian slippers with Jamaican tobacco, a habit of his which exasperated me no end. He came clumping down the hall with his feet stuck in 2 great pipes, as he said.
Watson, come quickly. I want to show you something.
Holmes, why in heaven's name are you wearing those pipes on your feet?
Well, these floors are cold.
If you wouldn't insist on keeping your tobacco in your slippers, you might be able to wear them sometimes.
That's very clever, Watson. I never thought of that. Oh, but I couldn't. You see, it's all part of my latest analysis on tobacco ash. I have discovered, Watson, that for every square inch of Jamaican tobacco I place in my Persian slippers, I can smoke that same tobacco 3 minutes longer.
So?
Well, don't you see, Watson? The slippers keep the tobacco fresh. And, as everyone knows, moist tobacco takes longer to burn than dry, stale tobacco.
I think I'll go over to the bow window and watch the puddles form outside. Yes.
Wait! There's more. And keeping the tobacco in the slippers gives that same tobacco a much more hardy, robust flavor. Probably to do with the fact that the slippers have never been washed, and thus increasing one's smoking pleasure tenfold. What is that strange expression on your face, Watson? Are you making a mental note to give cursory mention to a tobacco ash when you write up our next adventure?
No, my dear fellow, it was just gas.
Ah, too many of those hot toddies again. I told you so, Watson. You're addicted to those things.
I see you're back to stuffing that white powder up your nose again.
Well, that's different. I use it to clear my sinus condition.
Poppycock.
What's your dogmatic tongue?
Did Mrs. Hudson bring up the mail earlier?
Don't forget, we're mid-Victorian.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. It was just a flash of inspiration.
Well, I would conjecture that Mrs. Hudson forgot to bring up the mail since the letterbox appears to be quite empty.
Not so fast, Watson. Mrs. Hudson is always extremely prompt.
When asking for the rent, at any rate.
So then there wasn't any mail for us today. If there had been, she would have brought it up and the letterbox would not be empty.
If that was food for thought, I'm not hungry.
What do you mean?
Holmes, ever since I told you what a deduction was, you've been making one after another without any regard for logic or reason.
But that's not true. I am a brilliant consulting defective. I mean detective.
Right the first time. Holmes, look at what you wrote yesterday. The Art of Deduction, a treatise by Sherlock Holmes. I quote, Eliminate the impossible, and whatever's left must be the solution. The end. Ugh. Holmes, with rubbish like that, you should give up crime detection altogether and become a beekeeper.
Do you really think so? Perhaps I will. Someday.
Holmes, Holmes, Holmes. How I've stuck it out in the same digs with you for as long as I have, I'll never know.
Am I detecting a hint of hostility on your part, Watson? You've never told me this before.
I've tried to tolerate you keeping me awake until the small hours of the morning with your so-called experiments. The one with the rubber doll of Professor Moriarty was positively vulgar. But your use of wild disguises to track down criminals has been too much for one man to bear. I remember the time you managed to disguise yourself as a fire plug. I was amazed.
So was the canine that unmasked me.
Then I remember the evening you disguised yourself as one of those ladies of the evening in order to attempt to nab Jack the Ripper in the act. It was quite unfortunate your little guise didn't work. I could have told you harlots never wear deerstalker hats.
Oh, I wouldn't say the ruse was a complete failure. While dressed as a strumpet, I did end up making £5 from a very friendly, if near-sighted, old gentleman I met in Hyde Park.
And that's another thing, Holmes. You spend more time studying tobacco ash than you do studying women. If I didn't know better, I'd swear that you were a...
The old gentleman still writes to me. But I prefer to remain a part-time detective. I'm too old to get into a new line of work now. Although I suppose I could still see him on holiday.
Then you are a... You are a...
Yes, Watson, I am a... I am a terribly fond person of tobacco ash. Who is it?
It is Winsome, Engaging, and Daring Mrs. Hudson.
How do I know?
Because I feel Winsome, Engaging, and Endearing this evening.
I mean, how do I know you really are Mrs. Hudson? How do I know you're not my arch-adversary, Professor Moriarty?
Because you put an end to his miserable life last week.
Oh. Come in.
I have brought you gentlemen your mail this evening.
Better dilatory than on no occasion. Thank you, Mrs. Hudson. You see, Holmes, your lame deduction was erroneous.
Well, it was only a 7% solution.
And why do you insist on bringing your drug formulas into the conversation?
It's a habit.
We'll discuss that later.
I have got to be telling you. I've been reading your books, Dr. Watson. You're making a fine name for yourself. From the first time you came to see me about renting rooms, I knew you'd be someone. A rap at the door, and there you stood. And just when I got used to you, this oddball, Sherlock Holmes, you said his name was, you dropped a name you could have held on to for all it mattered to the world. Whatever happened to that one?
He's standing right beside you.
Oh, is that who that is? Why, without my glasses, I thought you had one of those cigar store Indians in the middle of your sitting room.
Watson, she just insulted me.
Don't take it to heart, dear fellow. Age makes the mind go. She's not getting any younger.
She wasn't getting any younger 3 years before I moved in.
She wasn't getting any at all. Oh, nice pair of slippers you got there, Mr. Holmes. Where'd you pick those up? A tobacco shop? And you, Dr. Watson. My son, Leon, the writer. You promised to look at his novel.
I did. It was pornographic. Excellent, but pornographic.
So, why didn't you find him a publisher?
Frankly, it was too well written. It might have become a classic. My ego got in the way. I was jealous. My only claim to fame has been writing about Big Nose here. 10 years with a psychiatrist and I'm still suicidal.
Big Nose?
Suicidal, are you? Why be a do-it-yourselfer? Call on Jack the Ripper. I hear tell he can cut himself up 16 drabs and still get a clean, close shave.
Big Nose?
There must be some reason for your not going back downstairs, Mrs. Hudson.
There is, indeed. I want to be telling you how much I've been enjoying your dust jackets.
You mean his books?
What are you, an interpreter?
You've got a way with a quill, Dr. Watson. I can't deny it. Your sagacious syllables jump off the page and into my mouth, and then I roll them around a bit. Taste every colorful consonant. Savor each venerable verb and noteworthy noun. Oh,
please, Mrs. Hudson, my blushes.
Your words melt in my Irish mouth like a plum pudding kept at room temperature.
Oh, but you're in an extremely jolly mood tonight, Mrs. Hudson. I never heard you pay my writing any compliments before.
What do you mean I have a big nose, Watson?
Not now, Holmes. Mrs. Hudson is giving her expert estimation of my work. Dear Mrs. Hudson, sit down and rest your tired ankles. Now, about my books. Continue, please.
Well, since you've asked, I do have one tiny bit of criticism.
Go right ahead.
I've read two of your pieces recently, and to my mind they seem to contradict each other.
Oh?
There is a definite lack of continuity.
Explain, please.
Well, you, by your own account, were shot both in the arm and the leg, at the same time, by the same bullet.
A remarkable achievement, Watson. Were you practicing yoga at the time?
Not quite. I made a mistake, if you must know. Now you do.
A mistake?
In the one piece, I wrote about a leg wound I'd received, and in the other, I forgot to change it to an arm wound, all right?
Don't you know where your wound is, Watson?
I don't have a wound. I was merely using dramatic license for effect.
And what is dramatic license?
Dramatic license is... Well, for example, how I describe you in my books as a genius, a man of note, a super sleuth, even the world's greatest detective.
Why, if I'd have known that all this was going to be flying about, I wouldn't have worn me white dress.
When in truth, Holmes, you're unkempt, unshaven, a truly crummy individual who'd be sleeping on a bench in Hyde Park if it weren't for my literary ventures. Those very ventures that have made you a living legend. And why? Not because of your deductive powers. Oh, no. Because of me, Holmes. Me and my special ability, natural gift, facility, faculty, endowment, aptitude, capacity, proficiency, skill, knack, flair, turn, forte...
Well, being talked to death is a terrible way to go. And you two gentlemen have one foot each in the ground, so I must be going.
I don't see why you stayed as long as you did.
And what happened to... Dear Mrs. Hudson, sit down and rest your tired ankles.
That was before your crass critique of my continuity.
Oh! Oh, no. You're not going to be getting me perturbed this time. By the way, your rent goes up tomorrow. Good night, Dr. Watkins.
That's... Watson. So, Holmes, why didn't you tell me that you'd finally managed to do in Moriarty?
It didn't seem important.
Not important. Do you realize I can finally put something in one of my books that actually happened? Holmes brutally kills Professor Moriarty. Well, this is just the sort of racy stuff my next adventure needed.
I didn't. I mean, I wouldn't. I couldn't brutally kill anyone. I was simply trying to put him behind well-deserved bars. And we had a little accident.
What sort of accident?
Well, I was hiding in the professor's penthouse office disguised as a fern.
A fern?
Yes.
And where was I while you were playing houseplant?
Well, that was the day I sent you to Brompton to get some samples for my next experiment.
Yes, I remember. I spent the entire next day with a spoon scraping clay off vagrant's boots.
So there I was, in Moriarty's office.
Dressed like a fern.
Yes. And the contemptible cur walks in, sits down, takes out a map, and proceeds to begin plotting his next nefarious crime. I let him write for a while, thinking that his own scribblings could later be used as evidence against him. And then...
Then?
Then he got up and watered me.
Watered you?
Yes. It was awful. I just stood there, dripping. Everything would have been fine if I hadn't made one mistake.
Which was what?
I sneezed. Well, I couldn't help myself. Standing there in soaked clothing, I caught cold.
Get to the good part already, where you do the malicious miscreant in.
Now, picture this, Watson. I sneeze, he leaps to his feet and says, "All right, Mr. Holmes, you may dry off now." Then I say, stepping out of the pot of dirt, "Hello, Moriarty, how's every little thing?" And he says, "Well, I..."
To make a long story interminable.
Hmm?
Get to the point.
Well, I tell him how I'm going to arrest him, and he tells me to stand clear or be trodden underfoot. And I say I will not, and he runs towards me, arms in strangling position. But before he reaches me, he slips on a puddle of water made by my wet greatcoat and proceeds to slide past his desk right out of the window, without even bothering to open it.
You didn't call Inspector Lestrade of Scotland Yard?
What, and let him take all the credit?
How does Mrs. Hudson know about this?
Well, it was in all the papers, Watson, the very next day.
I wouldn't know. I spent the night in the clink. Some officer saw me on my knees spooning clay off a tramp's toe and mistook me for one of those cruddy kind. What did the papers say about you, Holmes?
I preferred to remain anonymous in case there was any doubt of my intentions.
Yes, but Mrs. Hudson knew you did it.
Well, it was a very natural assumption on her part. She has caught me many times playing with my Moriarty voodoo doll.
Leave it to you to come up with these crazy explanations. I should have known better than to have even asked. With that hat you wear, it only proves that you never know whether you're coming or going.
Is there anything else about me that bothers you, Watson?
Well, I might as well say it all. You never, ever send your greatcoat out to be cleaned. It just stands by itself in the corner. And when I sneeze, it sags to the floor. You did an invaluable service to all mankind by ridding the world of Moriarty's evil doings, Holmes. More than you'll ever realize. In all fairness, Holmes, there is probably a thing or two about me that you don't like.
No. I always thought you were a jolly chap.
No complaints?
I can't think of one.
Well, I'll not retract this recital of my justified frustration, but I'll derive no satisfaction from it either.
In other words?
In other words, you've taken all the fun out of my being mad at you. So I think I'll go read the mail and sulk. Here's a letter from Bert Stover's lawyer. He's suing you for killing his cat Teresa, remember?
I remember.
Here's my royalty check from William Gillette for the play he wrote about us.
Royalty check?
Here's a letter for you, Holmes.
Royalty check?
From your old flame.
Watson, you never told me about a royalty check.
Irene Adler.
Open it for me, please, Watson.
Don't you like women?
I like tobacco ash.
Yes, I've noticed. It is a very peculiar habit. Your fondness for cigars and pipes is an oral fixation, Holmes.
Rubbish. Sigmund Freud once said, a cigar is a very good smoke.
Yes, it is, but not two at a time.
Why would Irene be writing to me? She married money.
Wrong. She married a chap with money.
Whatever.
Let me see. Dear Shirley. Dear Shirley. Dear Shirley, all that I have to say has already crossed your mind, and your answer has already crossed mine. That's a double cross if I ever heard one. My husband has met with foul play, and I wish to see you concerning his death.
Me? Why me? Shouldn't you see an undertaker?
She doesn't want you to bury him. She wants you to solve his murder. It's obvious.
When will she be here?
The letter says, arriving at Baker Street, London, on the 28th of February.
If I'm going to solve a crime, I'll need time to prepare. Mentally. Where's my violin? Where's my spoon?
There's no time to prepare, Holmes. Today was the 28th of February. She'll be here tonight.
Would you like some?
Oh, Holmes, get control of yourself, man.
You're right, Watson. I'm being foolish. There's not enough here for both of us anyway.
There's a lady waiting downstairs to see you two. Should I send her up?
Yes, Mrs. Hudson. She's an old flame of Holmes here.
Oh, I didn't know himself went in for that sort of thing. Old flame, is she? Well, it looks to me as though her pilot light has been out for years.
Well, maybe I'll have to rekindle the fire.
Holmes, I thought you were a...
Change of pace is good for the digestion, Watson.
And speaking of digestion or indigestion, Mrs. Hudson, your beef and kidney stew is a bit tainted tonight. It's been repeating on me like one of Holmes' violin practices.
That wasn't beef and kidney stew you ate. It was my cat's supper. I left it by the hall window to cool, and I wasn't gone 3 1/4 minutes when it disappeared.
That was the cat's supper? I thought you left it for us, Mrs. Hudson, so I brought it upstairs. Watson and I ate it.
This is disgusting.
I wouldn't say it was a total loss. My cat loved your beef and kidney stew.
Well, I'm glad someone ate well this evening. Would you please send that woman up now?
Oh, Watson, it'll be wonderful to hear her sweet, dulcet tones again.
Here, you, the one with the tacky makeup. Get on up here.
You can use little makeup yourself, Mum.
I'll be going now.
Hello.
Here, sit down, Irene. I'll get you a towel. You're drenched.
Sherlock, you're looking well, you are.
Hello.
Who's this?
He's Sherlock.
He's my Sherlock? Why is there smoke coming out of his slippers?
Don't ask.
Who are you?
I am his humble friend, companion, and biographer, Dr. John H. Watson.
Hello, Irene.
Are you sure you're my Shirley?
Yes. Sherlock Holmes, detective, logician, master of all evildoers, masculine pipe smoker.
Inadvertent violinist.
And a real swell guy.
I remember you a bit easier on the eyes in the old days. And more well-proportioned, well-arranged, like Dr. Watson here.
Well, I haven't shaved today.
Or yesterday.
Sherlock, it is good to see you.
It's good to see you too, Irene. I mean, it has made me realize many things that... I mean, of course... I am referring, as all the hapless, hopeless romantics among us are well aware in our secret and heartfelt understanding of undying love and devotion, as experienced
enough,
by...
Enough, enough already. Irene, please enlighten us as to the facts of your case.
I was out for a bit of a walk on Wednesday last, and upon my return finds me husband lying dead on the side of the road. Having followed him from our penthouse, a crowd of people gathered, a bobby or three strolled over, and then I see the back of a fella creeping round the corner, sort of like making his getaway.
Was there anything...
Let me handle this one, Watson. I like this new deduction game.
Very well, Holmes.
Oh, goody. Was there anything unusual about the man you saw?
He was wearing a wet greatcoat and left a trail of fern leaves behind him.
Really? Funnily enough, I...
Holmes, I don't think...
I was merely going to write those clues on the blackboard. Wet greatcoat, fern leaves, penthouse, window, last Wednesday. There.
I think you should not take this case, Holmes.
Watson's Notson. This is fun. Wet greatcoat. Fern leaves. Irene, what was your husband's name?
Professor James Moriarty. He was a mathematics teacher. Or at least that's what he told me.
Moriarty? Well then, I know the identity of your husband's murderer, Irene. It was...
Holmes, don't.
But Watson, this is my duty. Besides, you said yourself... What a great thing I did.
We'll try explaining that to the police.
The person who murdered your husband was...
Well, come in.
You gentlemen have got a little boy to see you.
Well, if it's Billy the Page boy, tell him he'll be in my next book.
Says his name is Basil.
Basil?
You might as well send him up, Mrs. Hudson.
Basil!
You asked for it. Here, you boy, get on up here and bring your nose with you. Mr. Holmes?
I'm Dr. Watson.
Oh, Mr. Holmes?
No, try again.
Mr. Holmes?
That's me.
Oh, I'd know you anywhere, Mr. Holmes, even with those pipes on your feet.
What do you want, boy?
I am your biggest...
Not me, him, over there.
Oh, yeah. I am your biggest fan, Mr. Holmes. It is my dream to one day play you on the stage.
No ambition, eh?
Well, I'm flattered, but, Basil, if you're going to play me, you had better get your nose fixed. Why, that's the largest nose I've ever seen.
Look in the mirror sometime.
Hmm? Could I have your autograph, sir?
I'd be honored. With best regards from Sherlock Holmes to my dear friend, Basil. What's your last name, dear Basil?
Rathbone.
Basil Rathbone. There you are, boy.
Oh, thank you, sir. I shall treasure it all my life.
Ah. My public. Now, as for the murder of your husband, it was...
Are you quite sure you want to go through with this?
The murderer was me.
You?
That's right. I killed Professor Moriarty. Get the handcuffs, Watson. I'm under arrest.
I've been looking for the person what killed my James because I want to thank him.
Thank?
I've been trying to get up the nerve to do him in for years. The bloke was cheating on me.
You mean I'm not in any trouble?
Oh, contraire. A big, fat reward is coming your way.
Bert Stover and his dead cat will be happy to hear that.
Dead cat?
Forget it. That was our last adventure.
Oh, Irene. Seeing you again this whole evening, it's been like a fairy tale. It's so gay. Well, is there anything you'd like to say to me, dear Irene?
Yeah. Look, when you want to go straight, drop me a card.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of A Study in Lavender, Episode 4 of The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes. As Dr. Watson, you heard Henry J. Quinn. Sherlock Holmes was played by Vernon Morris. Jan Meredith was Mrs. Hudson and young Basil. Terry Price was Irene Adler. Technical production was by Chris Bowler, remixing by Glenn Breda, and sound effects were done by William Melillo. A Study in Lavender was written by Joseph Bevilacqua and Dawes Butler, and produced and directed by Joseph Bevilacqua. This is your announcer, Joe Bev, asking you to tune in again next time for The Death of Sherlock Holmes, Episode 5 of The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes.
It's Comedy-O-Rama!
Waterlog Productions.
Comedy-O-Rama is supported by Bear Manor Media, publisher of the authorized biography of cartoon voice legend Dawes Butler, characters actor.
Yogi Bear.
For more information, check out BearManorMedia.com.